Today we are going to talk about containers for Christ. And we're going to talk about one of my favorite things. I think it's very interesting. You've all heard of body, soul, and spirit, right? Well, body, soul, and spirit, could you define it? Could you tell people what the difference was between body, soul, and spirit? Most people sort of kind of know what it is, but couldn't define it. And it's important because God interacts with our body, soul, and spirit in different ways. And it also helps explain why we do the things that we do. Because we have three things in play. The body, the soul, and the spirit. And each of them affects how we react or how we receive things. Okay? So we're going to talk, number one, about the body. This is the part of you which, and you can put, interacts with the external world. So the body, physically, if you think about it, receives information and external stimuli from the world, sends that information and the stimuli to the soul. So basically, stuff outside of us comes in contact with us, and that information gets sent to our soul. Number two, additionally, the body has its own set of desires. Body's hungry, body's thirsty, body wants something, it's hot, it's cold, it's whatever. And so it has its own desires and needs, and it sends this information to the soul. Third, our body is also our means of influencing and affecting our physical surroundings. We receive information from outside of us through our body. Our body is generating its own desires and needs. And then our body also is how we interact with and affect the rest of the world. So next up is the soul. This is the seat of your thoughts, will, and emotions. The important thing is you make decisions with your soul. Now the interesting thing is that the soul is affected by two things. It's affected by the body, and as we're going to find out down here, it's also going to be affected by input from the spirit. So the soul is getting input from a bunch of different areas, and the soul is the one that's processing the information and making a decision. The spirit contains the essence of who God created you to be. We're not talking about God's spirit in you, we're talking about your spirit. Your spirit is like a piece of God's spirit, only it's created in a very unique way. You were created different than everybody else. You cannot become all God intends for you to become while your spirit is dead. And we are all born. We are all spiritually stillborn. Okay, so we are all born spiritually dead. We are born in sin, it says, so we have a spirit, but it's not communicating with God. There's a time when we don't know God. We don't understand God. We don't communicate with God. But the spirit interacts with the spiritual realm. Your body does not interact with the spiritual realm. Not really. Your soul doesn't interact with the spiritual realm. Only your spirit actually interacts with the spiritual realm. It can hear from God, it understands what the Holy Spirit is saying, and desires to please God. It hears God, understands the Holy Spirit, and wants to please God. We understand body, is being affected, getting lots of information, and is affecting other things. The spirit is communicating with God, receiving information. The soul, your decision maker, gets input from both sides. Now, number one, when your spirit is dead, the only source of input which the soul receives, now imagine, if your spirit is dead, can your spirit give any input to your soul? No. So if your spirit is dead, what's the only input your soul has to make decisions?
The physical body.
Physical body, exactly. So if your spirit is dead, meaning you're not saved, only receives info from body. All of your decisions are influenced solely by what your five senses tell you. Your physical and your emotional state, what your carnal mind has come to believe is the truth from past experience. However, when the spirit is alive, you now have another influence on the soul, the desires or the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit influences decisions. Not until your spirit is alive do you even have a choice of what you're going to do. So now that your spirit is alive, you have a choice. Are you going to listen to your body, or are you going to listen to the spirit? Now, does that help you understand what's going on with you on a daily basis? And why also other people that you know of who are not saved, why they make the decisions they make? Now, think of this too. Before your spirit was alive, you spent all of your life, what is a habit? A habit is something that you fall into because you've done it over and over and over again. Well, all you've known your whole life is body sending information, soul making decisions. That's it. There was no option. But then when you get saved, it introduces the spirit option, which totally messes you up. Because now you have conflicting stuff going on. Your body saying, I'm hungry, eat this. Or I'm tired, pop a pill. Or I'm not tired, you know, take a pill. Or do a duty or whatever, drink something. But the point is, now our soul has a choice. Okay? Take, for example, a man driving down the highway, or a teenager driving down the highway, and someone cuts them off. Not only cuts them off, but curses them as they go by. The natural man sees this through his sense, sends this information to his mind, emotions, and wills, and the soul processes all the data, right? The eyes have seen this jerk cut you off, he flicked you off, he cursed you. Now your soul is processing this. So this man thinks, I will not be treated that way. I didn't deserve that treatment. That person needs to be taught a lesson. The emotions get all hot and bothered and say, that makes me so mad, I'm going to kill that guy. And his will steps on the gas, gets closer to him, and curses him back with added home hand movements. Isn't that kind of like normally the way it works? The spiritual born-again man receives stimuli and information from the surrounding world and from the spirit. So, he gets the guidance from the Spirit of God. So the spiritual man has to make a choice whether or not he's going to let his body determine, the information from his body determine his decision, or the information from the spirit. So let's take the same exact example. This man is cut off and cursed by the same man on the highway. He processes the same thoughts and emotions. Right? The body's going to respond the same way no matter what. I didn't deserve that treatment. That guy's a real jerk. Blah, 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 blah. However, simultaneously, he hears his spirit and the Holy Spirit saying, forgive him, for he knows not what he does. He doesn't know any better. He doesn't know the Lord. He needs someone to show him the love of the Lord. Bless those that persecute you and pray for those that revile you. Do not return evil for evil, but return blessing for evil. These are all scriptures. Okay? The Holy Spirit is going to give you scriptures. He's going to tell you the essence of it. Now, this man, he has to make a choice whether he will obey his natural inclination to kill the guy or his spiritual inclination, which would be to pray for the salvation of that person. The decision will determine what his body does. Now, Romans 7, 14 through 8, 10. You guys don't have a Bible, so I'm going to read it out loud, okay? We know that the law is spiritual. The law is spiritual. Why? Because God created the law, right? We know there's nothing wrong with the law. We just know we can't keep the law, right? So we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. But what I want to do, I do not do. Like the guy who just got cut off, do you think he wants to get out of control, angry, and flip the guy off? No, as a normal, rational human being, he doesn't want to lose control of himself. Not most people do. But they get out of control. The emotional overload or the thoughts or whatever it is overtake them. They end up doing something they normally regret later. What if they do? Ride up on the guy and curse him, whatever. The guy pulls out a gun and shoots him. Road rage. So there's a chain of events that goes on. So he really doesn't want to do something he's going to regret. That's what the scripture says. But what I want to do, like keeping in control, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. People who have a problem with anger hate losing their cool. Afterwards, they feel horrible about it. So if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Okay, so let's say the law says, do not return evil for evil. That's what God says. So I don't want to return evil for evil, right? So when I agree with the law, I'm therefore saying the law is right. The law is good. That's what the scriptures say. So if I do what I don't want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it's the sin living in me, my fleshly nature, okay, my body just taking over. That's what's messing me up. For I have the desire to do what is good, right? You don't want to get shot by a road rage driver, but I cannot carry it out. But what I do, what I actually end up doing, is not the good that I want to do. I lost my cool. No, the evil I do not want to do, which is losing my cool, this I keep on doing. So it's describing that really, really horrible struggle we have. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So basically, at this point, he has a spirit. His spirit tells him what to do, and he knows what's right. But he's caught because sometimes he gives into his body and doesn't obey the spirit and keeps doing what's wrong. So he's saying here, I can tell that my spirit is alive and well because I agree with the spirit what it's telling me to do. I just have not had the willpower to do it. Okay, here, I haven't had the willpower. I haven't had the ability to go through and follow through with it. Make sense? Now this is the Apostle Paul talking about himself. This is actually the part of scripture that I got saved from. Reading this, because I was like, this was written 2,000 years ago, and this guy is explaining exactly how I feel. I know what I should do, but I can't do it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, the Spirit, evil is right there with me. My body, my flesh desires. This is what he's explaining. For in my inner being, the spirit, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind, I'm a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. So in other words, the body wants to do whatever it wants, and the spirit wants to do what God wants. And that battle is continually there. And this is something I want to make very clear, and this is a huge mistake that Christians make. Even Christians who've been around for a long time, they figure that somewhere down the line, they won't have a problem with their body anymore, with the fleshly nature. They think that one day they will be so spiritual, The body is not even going to come into play. It won't even affect my decisions. That will never happen. Ever. You can never discount the body. It's like an enemy who can pop up at any time and take your head off. So knowing that, you are always fighting against some kind of fleshly, selfish reaction. That makes you stop and make a decision. Instead of just automatically reacting, you go, all right, I know my body's giving me some bad advice. I need to stop and think, what is the spirit doing? Before, we never had to do that. Body said, kill him. We went and killed him. Now, body says, kill him. Spirit says, pray for him. Now we have to stop and make a decision. Those who live according to the sinful nature, which is the fleshly nature, have their minds set on what their nature desires. Remember how the body has its own set of desires and needs? Well, in a natural setting, the only thing we care about is meeting those needs right there. That's how we spend all of our lives, and those are the habits we've created. So those who live according to just listening to the body have their mind set on what the nature desires. But those who live in accordance with their spirit have their mind set on what the spirit desires. Remember, thoughts, will, and emotions? Thoughts is your mind. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Why? What's the only thing that pleases God? The Spirit. So it literally is a battleground. It is war. The body hates the Spirit, and the Spirit basically hates the body. And in between is your soul trying to choose between the two. Now this is the last scripture. It says Romans 8, 9, and 10. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. So, in your own words, what is Paul describing? And what we just talked about, and what I was pointing out there, what is Paul describing?
Battleground going on between his body and soul. Mm-hmm. Body and spirit. Mm-hmm. Make the right decision in life.
Exactly. Well, the other thing is he's saying, I want to do what's right. Now that I know what's right, the Spirit's telling me what's right, I want to do what's right, but I can't. I'm really having a struggle here, breaking free to obey the Spirit instead of the body. So what I want to know from you guys is, if you wouldn't mind sharing an example of something that you know is right or that you would like to do, but did you have trouble with? Did you end up doing something else? It can be minor. But is there an example that you can use in your life of a time or things where you're obeying the body instead of what the Spirit says?
Like the daily devotions?
Uh-huh.
I want to do it, but I just don't have the motivation to.
Okay, very good. That's something. Now, for me, last night I told my daughter I got into a little tiff with my husband over something really stupid, and I knew I shouldn't have said anything, but I opened my mouth and I said something which gratified this instead of this. So, and even if what he said was not very nice or appropriate, I still never should have responded with this.
Why?
Because, now that's a very good point. Let me change something. Remember what I said is that, let's say this is God, and this is holiness, and this is righteousness. Every decision we make takes us either away from God or closer to God. So when I make a decision by the body, it's automatically going to take me further away from God than if I obeyed the Spirit. And I can tell there are times where I'll be about to do something, and this is what I swear to you, this is what I hear from God, and it's very quiet. This is all I get. Mm-mm. That's it. I might even get a second. Mm-mm. But that's what I get, and I got that before I said what I said. And then I got it again before I said something else. It took me further away from God by reacting according to the body instead of to the Spirit. Now, the other reason why in relationships you don't do that is this, and this is really important. This was the biggest revelation I ever had in marriage or relationships or anything. What is the goal for us when we have a relationship?
Stay together.
Okay, the goal is to stay together, right?
Or should be.
Well, that is the goal. Which means that everything, just like this, everything you do or say is going to either take you closer to the goal or further away from the goal. Moments when you give into the flesh and open your mouth and say something you shouldn't takes you further away from the goal of staying together. You're actually sabotaging your own goal when you do what the body says instead of the spirit. Now, isn't that stupid? Why would I sabotage myself? My goal, really, in the long run, is to have a good marriage. But if I open my mouth and say something stupid, I am actually cutting my nose off by my face. It's like, well, just like trying to lose weight and then going and eating Ben and Jerry's. You know, I got some conflicting, you know, desires there. This is the big struggle going on. What about you? Do you have an example?
I guess had something else better to do than to come to church.
Yes. Uh-huh.
There are 10,000 reasons that my body's wanting to do, but yeah, my mind and my heart tells me to come.
That's right. Oh, boy, you hit that on the head. And that's really what some of the others are struggling with. The first lesson, you weren't here for the very first lesson, but it talked about the seed that was thrown out on, and some of it landed on the wayside, and some of it had landed on shallow ground, and some of it got choked out by the weeds, and some of it really produced a lot of fruit. Well, the biggest danger is, for people, is it gets choked out by the worries and the cares of the world, all the other things. It's extremely hard for me, and I should learn this by now, to keep my mind on church if I have been thinking about business beforehand. Very, very hard. And I was reading this morning business articles before I came to church. So what did that do to my mindset?
You kept it in a business mind.
That's right. And then I'm thinking about business issues, and I'm thinking, why did I do this? I can't do that anymore. I can't feed my fleshly desire for information, okay, or to find out more things that can help my business when I need to be feeding the spirit, preparing my spirit. So I flip things. It doesn't work. The funny thing is if you prepare your spirit, it'll help you with your body in making your bodily decisions. But if you prepare your body, it never helps you with your spirit decisions. Okay? So that's a very, very good example. Now, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 through 11 says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." There's so many words sometimes, so I try to break it down. So God said, "Let light shine out of darkness." But what is this light he's talking about? He made this light shine in our hearts. Out of all of these, what do you think is the light? He put his own spirit in here with us to talk to our spirit, to give us information about how we should act. So light also means truth. So it's just talking about, again, God has given us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ, which means, bottom line, he gave us the spirit which tells us what to do, tells us what's right. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. Jars of clay, you know what this means? God says we're made out of the dust, and to dust we will return. Our bodies literally are made of minerals, made of dust. So it says he's given us this spirit, this light that tells us the truth and what to do, but it's encased inside of a jar of clay, a body, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. Have you ever felt this way? We are pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. You ever felt that way? Where just everything is going against you, and yet somehow you're still able to survive. That is, what he's saying here is, that spirit, the fact that we have a jar of clay, proves that our spirit is stronger than our body. All the stuff that happens to us should destroy us, bodily or soul-wise, but our spirit is so strong that even though it's in this jar of clay, it can overcome anything that comes at our body or our soul. It is the strongest part of this threefold personhood. It can come in and change and refine the information coming into the body, can help tame the desires and needs, and can help tame what our body does in reaction to the rest of the world. The spirit can change the attitudes which affect the thoughts, which affect our actions, which affect our emotions. The spirit is the strongest one of all of them. This is something that I've always thought was very, very interesting. In the Old Testament, God would always come and be with his people. But what happened is, when Jesus came and died and went to the Father, then where did the Holy Spirit go? He used to be with us, but now he is in us. That's really very interesting. When I studied the Old Testament, it would say, and the Spirit of God came upon so-and-so. It would be a visitation. He would come, be on him, leave. He would come, give him power, leave. And that was the whole process. You never, ever, ever hear the Holy Spirit coming to abide and live inside of a person in the Old Testament. That only happened after Jesus died, and he said, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So what does Jesus say will happen after he goes away? He will send the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. He used to be with you, but now he will be in you. So what is the main difference between you today and you the day before you were saved?
You have a conscience, like you know. You have a conscience, or you have a feeling or a sense that you know what you did wrong.
Okay, so in other words, now your spirit is alive. Your spirit was dead. Your spirit is the one that God communicates and tells you what's right or wrong, and so you have a sense of direction. So that's very good. So the bottom line is now your spirit is alive. Also, now the Holy Spirit lives in you. He didn't do that before. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You also have a new nature because this spirit is the essence of who God created you to be. Before you got born again, and even sometimes for a while after you're born again, you had a different personality. And sometimes it's a personality that's been warped by the body and by experiences and things that have happened to you. But slowly, people will literally, their personalities will change. Not necessarily massively, but they will change because certain needs are being met that they used to have to fight to get. And now the Spirit's bringing them to them naturally, so they can relax, and they can finally be who they really are. They don't have to get angry all the time, or they don't have to be funny all the time, or they don't have to do whatever all the time. They are now relaxing and becoming who God originally created them to be. And the other thing is, the old nature is crucified. The old nature, if you remember, is the part that could care less about God. That's gone. That is totally gone. The only thing you have left is the fleshly nature, the carnal nature, and you have the new man, the new nature, which is the Holy Spirit, your spirit, which is now alive. So, in a nutshell, what have you learned today about the body, the soul, and the spirit? Give me anything that you know, and how that can affect you as far as making decisions when you leave this room, when you go out for the week.
Body doesn't like spirit. Spirit doesn't like body.
Very good. And to be aware of that is a huge thing.
And they're both constantly always at war. Like the body's always saying, no, I want this. This person, no, that's not right. You should do the right thing.
That's exactly it. The body is completely selfish. It could care less about anybody else. It only wants what it wants. And that's very, very good. So how can you apply that, let's say, this week when you're at work or at the pool with friends or whatever?
I was offered to go to the house, and I know I'm not supposed to. I can say no because I'm going to obey my parents, like it says. I'm going to thank parents. Obey thou parents.
Very good. That's an excellent, excellent idea. Okay? Now, what about you? What have you learned today that maybe you might not have known before?
Well, I learned that the Spirit is a strong tool to make conscious decisions in life,
mm-hmm.
what direction you need to go.
Yes.
And it also says that you could still have hopes and dreams, but with the Spirit, it gives you more of a foundation to guide those hopes and dreams where it needs to go.
Yes, yes, that's very good. And on top of that, God knows you have hopes and dreams. And if your hopes and dreams, if you feel that they're in alignment with what the Spirit wants, that means He's going to help you get towards those hopes and dreams. Some of us have hopes and dreams that are not in alignment with what God wants. And the reason we had those hopes and dreams was because we were trying to meet the needs of the body. Remember how I said things change, all of a sudden the desires you have change? Some people want to be president of the United States because it'll give them a big ego boost. Some people really want to serve. So if they don't need an ego boost anymore, they may not want to be the president of the United States. There used to be a time when I wanted to be in front of a lot of people because somehow I craved and needed some kind of self-assurance from a group of people. Now, no desire whatsoever to be in front of a large group of people. Give me a small group of people and the ability to teach the word, and I am perfectly happy. So it changes my hopes and desires as my needs are being met, but that's a very, very good point. Very good. Did you have a practical application of during the week as to where you would be making a decision between soul and spirit? Any kind of situations that come up during the week?
Well, like the Spirit keeps you on a path you need to go
mm-hmm.
throughout the week or month, whatever, and the body might make you discouraged
yes.
without going, or it might make you veer to the left or veer to the right to get that immediate satisfaction instead of going to the long-term satisfaction.
Oh, that is very good. You mean like popping off and smarting off when you shouldn't?
Yeah,
I mean, that simply was my experience. You're right.
The body is in the here and now, and the Spirit is in the ultimate goal of the here.
Oh, that is so good. I like the way you said that. That's very deep. That's true. The body only knows the here and now, the instant gratification.
Yeah.
And the Spirit is in it for the long haul. And therefore, that's why the soul has to make those decisions. Are we going to work towards the immediate or God's long-term plan? Very nicely put, George. Thank you. I need to write that down somewhere. So hopefully this will let you guys know. If you don't know, and you especially being in National Guard, right? If you are going through territory and you think it's completely safe, you have no clue that there is any kind of possible threat or enemies nearby, you're not going to be prepared for any kind of onslaught. You'd be blindsided if somebody, if there were troops or somebody from the enemy that came up and smacked you. However, if you know that the enemy's out there, you will be prepared, you will be very open, you know, open-eyed, you'll be ready to make decisions at a moment's notice, because you know that there might be outside influences that can change your goal of getting from A to B on this road. It's the same way, the knowledge of knowing that you are now in a battle. Every thought and decision you make is now in a battle between the body and the Spirit. It makes you see your circumstances much differently. Before, you were like, well, whatever, I just make decisions. Now, it's like, you know what? The Holy Spirit's trying to get me to the long haul. My body's trying to short-circuit it and get me to something right now. So I need to stop and think about what I'm doing instead of doing what I've habitually done my whole life long. So that's another thing it does, is prepares you, opens your eyes to know you are fighting a foe, and it's your own body. It's your own flesh and your needs and desires. But the Spirit is stronger than it, and the Spirit, if you will trust the Lord, will take you to where you really want to go, where you're going to get the three things you want most out of life. What are the three things you want most out of life?
And peace and joy.
That's right. Satisfaction that comes from
peace that gives us joy.
And joy. That's exactly it.
Peace means no struggling.
Absence of struggling or striving. Joy is contentment, regardless of what's going on outside of you. And those two things together literally bring us satisfaction. That's what the Spirit is trying to bring us. Long-term satisfaction, peace, and joy. The body is only trying to get us temporary satisfaction, peace, and joy.